Okay, let's try and see if we can cover a bit of ground today. We keep getting stuck. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. It's all he's starting at the beginning. The sefer is just Rosh Prokim. The sefer is not the whole story. So if we spend a lot of time on a page, the gum tov. Okay. Yesterday we were trying to disentangle the connection between Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. They seem in our world to be interconnected. Of course, they touch each other. There's no question. No one's doing mitzvahs because they want to. You're doing mitzvahs because it was a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. If the Kabbalah Sol Shamayim, how are you going to do the mitzvahs? Because you're not going to understand that you're in this world to do mitzvahs and then not do mitzvahs. But at some point, we have to disentangle them and recognize that you can have a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim before. Thank you. Before you have a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, and let's see what that is all about. We mentioned yesterday, he was keeping your seat warm while you were away. You should be grateful. We're on Kuf Lamed Gimel, you say. Yeah, no, it's been a bit dry over there. Okay. All right. So let's have a look and see at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel how we can make some progress here. Elu ein yedias amitiyos, the last paragraph. Shel kabbalos amalchus shemaim kafi shenema. These are the correct, truthful understandings, ideas of what kabbalos amalchus shemaim is about. Kiblu malchosai, Hashem says, accept upon yourself my kingship. Kedei ledat mi ani. Understanding who we are, first you need to know that there's a melech. That's a Kodesh Boruch. Move to start recognizing his greatness. Person needs to think about. Even though I'm not fully actualized. And I haven't fully internalized, and I'm not expressing fully these ideas. There's not a pagia in my Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. This world, this Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, when you recognize who you are, what you are, what the importance of your life is, neto. Maybe let Rav Siegel sit here because he needs to lip read. We had a deal. If you came, you could sit there. You okay? Veseda. Welcome back. Brought the whiskey to celebrate, to make a kiddush. Okay. So that's the first nakuda. When you recognize really me ani, who I am and where I fit into this whole system, then there's no room for sadness. There's no room for feelings of I'm not being matzliach, I'm not doing what I want, because that's what the Yetzirah wants. The Yetzirah wants you feeling like a failure, so then it can get you to do chatoim, because when you're miserable, it potters you from responsibility. We spoke about that a few times, yeah. Okay. So that's the first thing to remember, is the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim stands on its own two legs and it's solid, no matter what's going on around. Yeter, okay, more than that, Kashi Yedim HaKabbal Alatzim Sol Malchus Shamayim Shleima. When a person's makabel or malchus shemayim b'shleimus, who may be native ku bno yechidah shel melech malchei hamaloch, and he recognizes properly that he is the only child of a Kodesh Baruch. Bni b'chayri Yisrael, each and every yid is bni b'chayri Yisrael. V'yesh atafkid v'niseyoy miyuchad b'chayv. We'll say it again. Hopefully it will sink in. And he has a unique mission in this world. If you understand that, On the one hand, that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there's a loving, caring father who only wants my good. And number two, that I have a special mission in this world to do. I'm here for a reason. I'm not just here stub, and what I do makes a difference. Then a person has the beginnings of being able to makabel all the yisurim that he has in this world, ba'ahava. That's the beginnings of being makabel yisurim ba'ahava, which we'll deal with in depth later. But that's the beginning of the sugya. He starts understanding that the yisurim are coming for his good. Firstly, intellectually, you have to get that clear. And it's bidyuk. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's working this out with an exactitude that would shock us. What's b'chol mo'edecho? We say it every day, a few times a day. What does it mean? Money. What else does it mean?
Really,
whatever you want, your resources. Chazal have a slightly different paper. Bechol mida umida, watch the words. It's a play on words, but this is what Chazal say. Bechol mida umida shuhu moided lecho have moidelo b'moid moid. How many times is the word moidecha in that phrase? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six times the word Mo'odecha is in that sentence. With every measure that Hashem measures you, that means with every test, Nisoyin, Yisurin that Hashem gives you, have a Mo'edelo b'mo'ed mo'ed. You should thank him very, very much. Doesn't sound as nice in English as it does in the original version. B'chol mida u'mida shehu mo'edet l'cho, have a Mo'edelo b'mo'ed mo'ed. Because the other pshatim also true. Afilu noiteles mamaincho. For sure, it's also true, but that's also included in the umida shemoidet lecho, was it took the money. Have a moidelo b'moidin. That we understand is some part, that's some kind of a darga. And we've spoken about this many times. You have to start working on the little things. You have to train yourself and practice doing on the little yisurim, you know, like there was no milk and you wanted coffee. That's the time to stand up and say, halal. Thank you for the yisurim, because that's called yisurim. Because I'll define yisurim in very fragile terms. But there's bigger yisurim in the world. there's much bigger yisurim in the world. Intellectually, we understand. The Hashem and the Tavos or whatever. But it takes a lot of work to sink it down below the net. When you really have Yisurim, and to know this is from Hashem and it's for the good, intellectually that's fine. No one has a problem with that. Aval, to get the goof in line and to understand it really deeply, that's a lifetime of work. That's a lifetime of work. That's not simple. The Chovas HaLevavos says it in very extreme terms. He describes a whole bunch of tanaim that you have to have before you can have a tochen in somebody. And then he goes through all the conditions and he says, and if you find somebody that has all these conditions, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you have a chiv to botach bo b'kol machshavoysav u'b'kol eivarov. B'kol machshavoysav u'b'kol eivarov. So machshavoysav, we understand. You have to have a talk to Hashem with all your thoughts. But what about your limbs? What do your limbs have to do with it? You have to have a tochen in your feet. What does that mean? What does that mean? You have to have a tochen b'kol eivarov. Anybody want to? I mean, b'tochen b'eivarov. So I found out one night what it means for me. I'm not saying this is all shut. You have a big problem on your hand. And you're lying awake at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, tossing and turning because you have this worry. Yeah. And in your head, you know, this is for Hashem, it's for the good, I call it tova, I call it seder. And yet the goofy is tossing and turning and you're worrying and you're kvetching and you're anguish. That's b'chol evorot. Proper betochen, yishuv adas, and menuchas hanefesh shel abotech, which is what we're trying to achieve here. In betochen, this is about emunah v'betochen. There's only one place to go with emunah v'betochen. It's yishuv adas and menuchas hanefesh, the tranquility of the boteach. So in your head, you're boteach. Everything's fine, and there you have yishuv adas and menuchas hanefesh, and the body is roaring. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody ever said, well, this is not from Hashem, and therefore, oh, it's it's from Hashem and it's good for me as a Beseder Gamor. Aval Zekoev is a pain, yeah. That's hard work. It's not simple work. So you start practicing with the little things. What I think. No, that it hurts, and I'm thanking Hashem for the pain. Because I know that the pain's the best thing that could have happened. A person, for example, I'll give an example. It's a well-worn, overused example, but it tells the story. A person, God forbid, was paralyzed, and he had no feeling in his leg. Yeah? No feeling in his leg. And they do this treatment, and that treatment, this treatment, that treatment, whatever. And every day, the doctor comes in, and he sticks needles in the leg, to see if whatever. One day, he sticks a needle into the guy's leg, and it's excruciating. He's happy or he's sad? He's ecstatic. Is there pain? For sure there's pain, but he's happy. Birth is another well-overworn example. I'm saying, yeah, that's an example. But it doesn't always work that easy. It's not always, well, my leg was numb and now I can feel again. It's usually there's pain in the leg and it's painful. That's why it's called Yesurim. If it wasn't pain, it would be Yesurim. Well, what the situation made it obvious to them. We don't always have that. Sometimes our pain is not so obvious. Why do I have to have a migraine now? To be able to makabal the yisurim ba'ava. It doesn't mean the yisurim goes away. It's yisurim, but we makabal ba'ava. It's a shame when we get to the chapters dealing with Sukhra, I'm saying this is not simple work. To know it intellectually is partial. You have to be blind not to see it intellectually. And when there's no yisurim happening at the moment, well, then of course it's easy to makabal yisurim ba'ava. But when you're really in a pinch, whatever the pinch is, the local kach pashut. Not simple at all. To makayim b'chol mo'edecha, b'chol midu midu shemoided lecha, have a moedin lo b'moed moed. Do you know intellectually this is from Hashem, and it's perfect, and it's bidyuk, and I'm going to thank him one day when I get to Lamaban, I see what I've got because of this yisurim. I'll be very thankful there. But how do I do that now? When really I would rather be at my grandson's bar mitzvah, but I'm lying in hospital. Rachman el Tzlan. How do you do that? It's not so posh. Not so posh. That's a void that you give to a Jew to do. But that's the demand. It's a deraisa. You don't just read about it and then you get it. Yeah. And the next time, God forbid, something happens, you're okay. Well, it's work and tugging and training and training and training. You don't decide you're going to run a marathon. So you run a few laps and you practice whatever the next day you're out there. You know, 42 Ks goes like a breeze. It's a little bit more work than that. We have to know that what do we mean when we say Baruch Hashem? What does that mean to me? I'm just saying Baruch Hashem because that kind of what falls out of my mouth because I'm so habituated in saying it. Or no! I recognize intellectually that what's happening now comes from Hashem. Because where else does it come from? Everything's from Hashem. That's the first step. You have to recognize it comes from Hashem. Second of all, if Hashem's doing this, it has to be for my good. If Hashem doesn't do things for his good because he's not lacking anything that he needs to do anything for. He must be doing this for me. I don't understand why this is for my good. If you do, it's much easier. Like I said, the guy gets the prick in his leg and suddenly he's like, wow, he can feel again. So he doesn't need Shara B'tochen. To be happy then. He doesn't need too much work. My dad, Maud, he can thank Hashem for that pain, because that pain is, wow, thank you for the pain. You know, but somebody who doesn't understand right now what the pain's about. Yeah? He doesn't understand. Why do I have to be going through this? Well, but he knows that it's coming from a Kosh Bol, it's the best thing for him. Everyone can relate to that. That's partial.
It's very simple. But it is a horrible thing to experience. People say, and I'm close to God in heaven. So I have to thank Hashem for heaven.
No, one second. We will get to that. That's a good question. Trying to use examples. Yeah, because you saw him. I'll tell you the difference between that Yisurim and other Yisurim. That Yisurim, you saw the brocha at the same time the Yisurim were taking place. And the Yisurim, it's also bracha, exactly the same as the leg. You just don't see it right now. But it's the same. The prick in the leg, when your leg was numb and now you can feel the prick and the pain is there for good news, if you knew why Hashem was giving you the Yisurim, then you'd be thanking him all the time. We don't know why he's doing this. He doesn't always reveal to us so explicitly why you're having this Yisurim. Huh? Intellectually, we've got it. Yeah. No, intellectually, we understand that this is from Hashem. I'm showing you the steps, what you get intellectually. This is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu for sure, because it's from no one else. No one else can hurt you, help you, do anything for you without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if I have an ingrown toenail now, that's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah? Well, otherwise, why is there pain there? That's from Hashem. Who put the nerve endings in my toe in the first place? That's all from Hashem. And if it's from Hashem, it's for my good. Then I understand intellectually. Yeah? No, of course not. That's why it's hard. That's why it's hard to get it intellectually down into the Kishkas. Because in the Kishkas, why am I going through the suffering? I don't see the payday. The guy who gets the prick in the leg, he sees the payday now. He's seeing Olam Haba now. We don't. We know that we don't live here for now. We're living for Olam Haba. And eventually, one day, we'll understand what is the best thing. And we'll be very grateful that we had it. We'd be terribly upset that we didn't get it. But right now, I don't get it. I get that it's for my good, but this is not so pleasant. I just have a bit of flu. It's not so pleasant. It's not pleasant. You lost some money, you had a hole in your pocket, and the rent fell out of your pocket. That's not pleasant. That creates a whole bunch of turmoil in your life. But we haven't answered the question. It's the prick in the leg. We just don't see the connection between the prick in the leg and the pain very much. That's the avoider. That's what I said. You start working on the little things. You start working on where it is clearer, then you'll be equipped to deal with the bigger ones if God forbid they come. But if you don't work on the little things, the milk in the fridge, the flat tire, whatever, you're not working on being ma'ode, ma'ode, ma'ode there, then you've got no chance when things start getting heavy. That's why we start, like we said, we're apprentices. We start working on the, you stubbed your toe. Well, thanks. Refine Waxman said he was once driving in a car. He was in front with the driver, and there was a woman sitting in the back, whatever, I don't know who it was. And they had an accident. As they had the accident, she said, "Thank you, Hashem." That's someone who's living real with it. It wasn't like after the fact, you sit down, you start analyzing, and you start thinking about it. You go, "Oh, well, thanks, Hashem." That's also some level. That's also not possible. She just had it right there. That's an woman. That's somebody who's mastered this already. You know, somebody that can type without looking. An woman, a master. I can type as well, you know. Hunt and peck, they call it. You get guys that can type it, like, while they're having a conversation and, schmoozing and listening to a share and they tuck, 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 and never miss a beat. You do it without thinking. You do it without dust because it's become part of you. Yeah? You can become a Baal B'tochen like that. You can become an Uman in B'tochen that, thank you Hashem, as the exit map. There's no time to process, analyze. But we are not on that level. So we need to practice the hunt and peck method. So that one day you'll get to the point where, something a little will happen. You go, thank you Hashem. Thank you Hashem.
Saying that's the methodology, is to start with small things.
Start practicing. I know it's a methodology. It's an eight that I got from my rabbi, and it works. Start practicing with the little things. Start being aware of the little things. And start thanking Hashem for those little things. And slowly, slowly, you start going up the ladder. You get Saturday Shmaya. Avoid the Tayyam Asainoi, sir. You want to work on B'tochen, and you try, and you're davening. Hashem helps you, and you get it more and more and more. So you can say, thank you, Hashem. Instinctively, you open the fridge, you're chalishing for a cup of coffee after a fast. You open the fridge and you open the cupboard and there's no coffee. Now, thank you, Hashem. Maybe some people that's called big Yisurim. Don't know where you come from, whatever. But I'm just saying, whatever for you is, find the little things. And there's plenty the whole day. Because I see you put your hand in your pocket, you thought you had 5 shekels, you only have 4. Those haste Yisurim. The whole midah shemayin laga. You know what that gives you in Olam Haba? That just that little Yisurim, it's called Yisurim. Chazal called it Yisurim. You don't have to wait for volcanoes. You become a You're asking, I don't even think you understand how good a question you're asking. I don't think you understand how good a question you're asking.
No accountability.
And the Torah says you're not allowed to be a doormat. The Torah says there's a thing called bastion, and there's accountability, and there's a chrias. That's not so simple to understand. This guy who drove his car into the back of my car, yeah? So first of all, thank you, Hashem. Because I know that if Hashem didn't want him to drive into the car, he wouldn't know. He's driving into my car. There's a reason why he did it. And I need this. And the surim that I'm having now are good for me. That's number one. And number two, I take him to base it and I sue him for the damage. You have the problem? Oh? Huh? Boris question. Boris question. You become a doormat. Now drives his car into you, bashes the door. You say, thank you, Hashem. And you say to the guy, don't worry, it's not your problem. Because it's all Hashem, and I, you know, actually, thank you. I'm very grateful to you that you did what you did. But the Torah says you have to take him to Beit Din and get the money back. He has to pay you for that. Why him? What's it going to do with him? The question is, if it's all from Hashem, it's all from Hashem, it's all from our good, why are you seeing this stuff for damages? No, because the Torah commands you to. You don't understand why. Why do I have to sue him? Why are you suing me? Because I drove into your car? It was Hashem drove into your car. What's it going to do with me? That's not my cheshbon. That for sure, that's in Hashem's world. That's all, of course. In the multi-looped feedback system, everything's connected to everything, of course. But that's not my cheshbon. My cheshbon, no, what I'm seeing because you need to lose the money. Why do I take the best? I'm so happy I should pay this guy for driving the money. You know what just gave me? You know what this guy just gave you? If you understand what you're suing now, if you understand the wealth, the beauty, the chesed of the yisurim that you have, this guy that just hit you, you should pay him because he just gave you the biggest olam habayah you could ever get. Why are you suing him for damages? I know you don't see it. I'm trying to show you how it is connected.
Yeah, but
why?
Yeah, but why?
No. Okay, slowly. You can. Good. Some people hold it's a few. It's a few. You don't want to take money that's owed to you and throw it away. Who are you to take money that Hashem says is owed to you and say, I don't want it, I'm throwing it away? Lots of portion. I know you don't see the fear, but now I understand why. If I understand why, you're not seeing, I understand why. Yes? No, that's why you may have a chiv to go to basin as opposed to you can if you want. But that's not the answer. It's not the answer.
It could be the Yisurim was the hassle.
I'm going to baste him. That's more Yisurim than the... Yeah. Okay, so 1 second. Whoa. Let's just make say this. Slow down. If you understand, I call me Shammai. Einod milvodri. No one can hurt you except the HaKadosh Baruch. And if it's a HaKadosh Baruch, this is the best thing that could have happened to me. Listen carefully. Why are you davening for Hashem to take it away? That's part of your question as well. Why are you making a shtadlis to change it? I told you, when we start dealing with betochen, you're going to run into these problems. You have a chiv. We're trying to understand why I have to daven to take this yisurim away. Why is there a chiv when you have tzoros, you have to daven? What? It's the best thing that can happen to you. I don't want you to take this away. This migraine is the best thing. Thank you, Hashem. I'm thanking Hashem for the migraine. And saying, yeah, but take it away. Well, there's a problem here. There's a practical problem here. Am I thanking him or asking him to take it away? Well, if you thank him, why do you want him to take it away? It's the best thing that could have happened to you. And if it's the best thing that happened to you, why are you asking him to take it away? And if you ask him to take it away, maybe it's not the best thing that could have happened to you. Well, how do you reconcile that? That's Boris' question. You haven't understood the question. You haven't understood the question yet. If you were davening the whole day for $1 million, there's a knock on the door and a guy gives you $1 million. Would you start davening to Hashem to take away the $1 million? So, why are you davening for Hashem to take this illness away? The best thing that could have ever happened to you. I don't know if it's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Because Hashem gave it to me. So why are you davening to take it away? And you're right, you have a chiv to daven to take it away. But I understand. You're arguing with Hashem about what? What's the dialogue here? Thank you so much, Hashem, for giving this to me. Please take it away. But I thought you said thank you for this. I thought you wanted it because the best thing could happen to you. And now you ask me to take it away. You don't see the stira? How do you do that? That's very hard.
I don't know.
So that's the question. How do you not become a doormat? Which is the way Bollock described it. It's a bit more maybe sophisticated to be a doormat, but that's the problem. That's valid. That's major valid. We're going to have two chapters later dealing with this problem. Yeah. It shouldn't bring you closer to God than Tefillah and learning Torah and all the mitzvahs in the world. There's nothing that brings you closer to God. Chazal tell you, not because of the Tefillah. The Yisurim be'etzem give you more kivus elokim than anything else you can do down here. If a person was allowed to, he should slam his door, his finger in the door, and sit for the whole day screaming in agony. You're not allowed to do that. Also to do that. Also, we have not to get Yisurim. But the best thing that can happen to a person, okay, because I'll say it before, all the time says it in many places, the greatest kivus elokim you'll ever get is through Yisurim you have. And now you're having to take them away?
Because we are at risk. That means if someone has a nisayon, he can fall. That means he can.
That's why you're not allowed to ask for a nisayon. You're not allowed to ask for Yisurim. We even double not to test me. Okay, that we'll deal with why. There's the Rishonim have discussed them. Yisurim are so good for us. Why are we davening not to have them? Okay, that's another problem we have to deal with. But kivus elokim, no kivus elokim as much as it comes to Yisurim. We don't want that. You say because of my whole one second. Once again, we have to learn the sugar from the bottom and build it up. What does that mean? We have to define that term. Throw words around
and hopefully they'll
stick somewhere on the wall. You know what that means? What does
it
mean? Prophet Chaim said he went into a wedding and there was no music. Went to a wedding where there was no music whatsoever. Anybody ever been to a wedding like that? Would you like to go to a wedding like that? Chofetz Chaim says, when you go to Olam Haba and there was no Yisurim, it's like being at a wedding without music. Yisurim is the music in Olam Haba. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's see. Yisurim is a hard one. It's a tough one. It's not poshut. And I'm not talking about philosophically. I'm talking about practically. When you're suffering and you have pain and you have illness and you have financial problems and children problems and shidduch problems, all these Yisurim that a person goes through in this world, to be ma'oid, to thank Hashem very, very much, because you still have a 36-year-old living at home, it's not so posh.
It's all just part and parcel of the system. Hashem, please don't. I want my tax bill to be minimized in the meantime, right? Gives you $1 million income and you've got a big tax bill. You don't want the big tax bill, but you've
nice. That's where you have to practice. That's the training ground. But sometimes you actually get into the ring. Sometimes you actually have to get into the ring. And we're in the ring. It's not so posh. We daven, please don't put me in the ring. Because we're not sure we'll be able to do it properly.
But that, I'll tell you, that's what you're actually for. I mean, that's potentially what I'm actually governing for. It's not necessarily that you don't want to suffer. You don't know if you're going to recover it properly. Yeah, you're going to do what you need to do with it. That's a big thing.
Until you say, I don't know and I don't understand, you won't do anything. This would have to step back and say, I really don't get it. Why would a loving, kind father that I have to mummage get warm and cuddly with build Auschwitz? How do you get warm and cuddly with a guy that made Auschwitz? That's your problem, and you haven't got an answer to that. So
no, and I think what I'm saying is, I don't know, and I'm at peace with that. Let's be careful what I say.
How can you be at peace with that? You know what suffering there was?
Because I'm not in the ring, maybe. Maybe that's my real life.
That's what I'm saying. You have to step back from the sugya and look at it from outside first. There's some sugya you can get into. The sugya you have to step back if you're not in it already. There's some people that are in that sugya. But you get warm and cuddly with a guy that built Auschwitz. That's what you're being asked to do. B'chomo decha means get warm and cuddly with a guy that made Auschwitz. How do you do that? Not philosophically, practically. You have a chiyuv to do that.